الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، all praise is due to Allah, and may Allah send His peace and His blessings upon the best of the creation, the Prophet of Allah, the seal of all prophets and the last messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the day of judgment. As you may remember, and we have, where is the young man? You were supposed to memorize the whole verse. That's not nice like this, huh? We were dealing with the Tawheed of Rububiyyah, and we mentioned the different verses that were quoted. I will not examine anyone today, since people are having exams elsewhere. We will avoid the examination in the dars. So we will just continue, inshaAllah. We have made it to the third aspect of our iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We said first we believe in the existence of Allah, then we believe in the rububiyyah, the lordship of Allah, then finally we believe in the uluhiyyah now. This is the third, there's one more. الألوهية يقول الشيخ رحمة الله عليه الإيمان بألوهيته أي بأنه وحده الإله الحق لا شريك له، والإله بمعنى المألوه أي المعبود حبا وتعظيما. وقال تعالى وإلهكم إله واحد لا إله إلا هو الرحمن الرحيم، سورة البقرة verse 163. وقال تعالى شهد الله أنه لا إله إلا هو والملائكة وأولو العلم قائما بالقسط لا إله إلا هو العزيز الحكيم. الشيخ said believing in the ألوهية of Allah entails believing that Allah سبحانه وتعالى is the true God who has no partners. Ilah really means ma'luh. This is linguistically speaking. Ilah, which is a God. Ilah, God, means ma'luh. That which the people deify, which is ma'bud, that which is worshipped. So the reason why these gods, the false gods, exist, because the people have elevated them into the status of being worshipped. So they became ilah because of the act of deifying that is being done by the worshippers, not because of the thing itself is deserving of worship. And remember, we struck some examples for that. We said you may not even know how to read or write, but some people may think you're a professor. Okay, so can we say you're a professor? No, but to the people you are. To the people you are, they elevate you to the status of being a professor, although your qualifications do not have that. So then they are ilah in terms of the worshippers, not because they are true gods, as we will see. And al-ma'bud hubban wa ta'zeeman, that which is worshipped out of love and magnification. That which is worshipped out of love and magnification. Allah says in the Quran, interpretation of the meaning in English, and your Lord is one Lord, your God is one God. There is none worthy of worship but me, the most gracious, the most merciful. Furthermore, this is Surah Al-Baqarah verse 163. Then in Surah Al-Imran verse 18, Allah says, Allah bears witness that none is worthy of worship but He. So do the angels and those who have been given knowledge. Now look at these three. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first bore witness Himself to the fact that He is the only one who deserves to be worshipped, and this testimony is sufficient. This is all you need. If Allah bears witness to that, then there is no one more truthful in speech than Allah. وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. Who is more truthful than Allah in speech? Yet Allah says, so do the angels. Okay, with their status with Allah. Huh? Do they disobey Allah? Do the angels disobey Allah? لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. They do not disobey Allah regarding any command, and they do everything that they are commanded. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the angel of death to come and take the soul of one of us, the angel of death does not object, he does not negotiate, he does whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands him. They fulfill the obligations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. So they bear witness to that, and this is another important element. After this. Lastly, وَأُولُو الْعِلْمِ, those who have knowledge, or more precisely, those who have been given knowledge, because you really don't have knowledge. We were born out of the wombs of our mothers, ignorant. Even a very simple act of nursing is knowledge given to us by Allah by fitrah, natural disposition. No one educates a baby where to go for nursing, although the baby doesn't even know anything at this point. But by nature, they seek that kind of nutrition. Who taught the human being these things from that very young age? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Furthermore, as you grow older, every aspect of knowledge, anything that you know, is by Allah. So the more correct translation is, أُولُو الْعِلْمِ, يعني those who have been given knowledge. Then the Allah bears witness, then the angels bear witness, then the scholars. And this shows you the importance of al-ulama, the scholars, the a'imma, of the righteous predecessors, like the four a'imma, those who have the four madhahib, or the four ways, or schools of thought, as it is translated in other words. And those who came after them, and those who were contemporary with them, those who were during their time, the contemporary scholars. These were virtuous, because Allah says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Verily, the only ones who fear Allah from among His creation are the scholars. Because they know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they have more fear of Him. That's why they used to say, the more you know Allah, the more you will fear Allah. And knowledge that does not generate fear is no knowledge. Having knowledge that does not generate fear in you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not beneficial knowledge. What kind of knowledge is this? If you have knowledge and you continue to deviate and misguide and sin, this is an indication that this knowledge will be used as an evidence against you on the Day of Judgment. That you knew, unlike the ignorant, who may be excused for ignorance. So, the knowledge then must be put into practice. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bore witness to His uluhiyah, that none deserves to be worshipped but Him Azza wa Jal. And the angels bear witness to that, and so do the scholars. قَائِمًا بِالْقِسْطِ, maintaining His creation in justice. Injustice, there's no oppression in the commandments and the judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is in the ultimate justice. لا إله إلا هو العزيز الحكيم, there's no God worthy of worship but He, العزيز, the Almighty, الحكيم, the All Wise. وكل ما اتخذ إلها مع الله يعبد من دونه فألوهيته باطلة. Every single object that is being taken as a god with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is being worshipped as a partner with Allah or as an associate with Allah is a false god. Its uluhiyya is false. قال الله تعالى ذلك بأن الله هو الحق وأن ما يدعون من دونه هو الباطل وأن الله هو العلي الكبير. This is why, because Allah is the Lord, the God in truth, very important addition. Al-Haq, Allah, huwa al-Haq. Allah is the truth, the true God. وَأَنَّ مَا يَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِهِ الْبَاطِلِ, and that which they call upon beside Him, باطل, or vain falsehood. باطل, falsehood. وَأَنَّ اللَّهُ هُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْكَبِيرُ, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most great, Allah is the most high, the most great. Al-Ali, the most high and the most great. This is Surah Al-Hajj, verse 62. And this is a very important verse to explain the fact that yes, there are other gods, as we mentioned before, and some brothers had a misunderstanding. There are other false gods. Allah called them Aliha, because the people make him an Aliha, but Allah says Allah is the Lord, the God in truth. And all these other false gods that they call on besides Him are falsehood. وَتَسْمِيَتُهَا آلِهَا لَا يُعْطِيهَا أَوْ لَا يُعْطِيهَا حَقُّ الْأُلُوهِيَةِ. The fact, the mere fact that the people call it God, a God, does not entitle it for the divine attributes of Allah. Just a name is not sufficient. Allah says, قال الله تعالى في لات والعزى ومنات إن هي إلا أسماء سميتموها أنتم وآباؤكم ما أنزل الله بها من سلطان. In Surah Al-Najm, verse 23, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said regarding the false gods, they are nothing but names that you have forged, you have created, you have fabricated, you and your forefathers, in which Allah sent down no authority. The gods that they have made gods are names that they came up with. You know, Shiva and Brahma and Brahman, and you know, they have all these gods, Jesus and otherwise Buddha, things of this sort. They're just names. They get any object that Allah created, they give it a name, and they say that this is a god. Now this is a god, and you must worship it, or you must seek its intercession, or you must seek it to get near to Allah, and things of this sort. Allah says they are only names that you have given yourself. You and your forefathers, Allah did not send down any authority. Allah did not give you any permission to make these objects of worship and to give them these names and to make them part of the religion. Because the religion of Adam and Nuh and Ibrahim and Musa and Isa and Muhammad and all the prophets and messengers is the same. It's the same religion. It's to worship Allah alone. So once you deviate from that, then you have destroyed the very essence of the religion. And then you have falsehood. وقال عن يوسف أنه قال لصاحبي السجن أأرباب متفرقون خير أم الله الواحد القهار. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described Yusuf, you know the story of Yusuf. I'm sure everybody has read it, at least in the language that you understand. I'm not speaking about the Arabic one. Because you may read the Arabic Surah Yusuf and you still may not know what's going on. And this is not sufficient. Alhamdulillah, you get the reward 10 hasanas for each letter that you read. May Allah accept everyone's recitation. But at the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the Quran, not just for that. كتاب أنزلناه إليك مبارك ليتدبروا آياته وليتذكر أولو الألباب. A book we have sent down to you, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, blessed. Why? Allah told us the reason. So they may reflect upon its verses, and those with the good intellect will take a reminder. So then Allah gave us the reason why the Quran was revealed, among the reasons, for you to understand what's being said to you. So if that requires that you read it in Urdu, you must do so. Or English, you must do so. Or whatever language, you must get acquainted with the chapters in the Quran, what they are talking about, in the language, your mother tongue, which you understand, in case that you do not understand Arabic, which is, يعني, may Allah help us all learn the language while we're in this country. So, the Surah Yusuf, you know, he went to the prison. And when he went to the prison, he entered the prison with two companions of the prison, two young men. Both of them had seen a dream. One of them seen that he was serving his boss some alcohol. And the other one seen that birds will be eating from bread that he will have on his head. He'll be getting some bread in a basket and birds will be eating from it. So when they asked Yusuf to interpret the dreams for them, and they seen that he was of good character, we see that you are among the Muhsineen, we told them. He did not interpret the dream. He did something else. Does anyone know what he did and why? Huh? Brothers who are sitting far, the sunnah is to be close. Ma'alish, I know it's comfortable to be leaning against some pillar, but the sunnah is to be close. The shaitan will catch the one who's individually away from the group. Muslims are strong in a group. So I encourage those who are not over 80 years old to move up to the front. Or senior citizens may be excused, inshallah. Hey. Ha, help me, ya shabab. Yusuf, alayhi salam, he was asked to interpret the dreams. If you read the chapter, he said something else. What is it and why? Huh? Afwan ya Shaykh. No, this was after. This was after interpreting the dream. Before he even gave him the interpretation of the dream, the ta'wil of al-ahlam, al-ru'ya, he actually did something else that is irrelevant to their question. Yes, he said, no food will come to you. No food will come to you except that I will interpret, I will give you the interpretation of this dream before the food comes. Why? Then he went on to say, this is from what my Lord has taught me. Because I have left the nation of people who worship others with Allah. And in hereafter, they believe not. And I followed the way of my forefathers, Jacob and Abraham and Isaac, he mentioned them. It was never for any one of us to ascribe any partners with Allah. This is from the bounties of Allah upon us and upon the people that most people do not understand. Then he went and said, oh companions of the prison, which is this verse, أَأَرْبَابٌ مُتَفَرِّقُونَ خَيْرٌ أَمِ اللَّهُ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَارِ. Are many different gods better or Allah the one, the irresistible? So he gave him da'wah to tawheed. And this is the prioritizing that we must have in our life, whether individually or while dealing with others. He knew that they needed him, so he took the opportunity to give them da'wah. Before he interpreted the dreams, he told them that they should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. He gave them da'wah to their faith, then he told them, ask for you, then this and this will happen to you, and this and this will happen to you. Then he told them, mention me with your boss. But this was when, after he broke down tawheed, and after he showed them, he said, are many gods better? Or Allah the one, the irresistible? مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَّا أَسْمَاءٌ سَمَّيْتُمُوهَا أَنْتُمْ وَآبَاؤُكُمْ مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ بِهَا مِن سُلْطَانٍ. You worship none, you are worshipping nothing except names that you have forged, you and your forefathers, which Allah sent down no authority. By which Allah sent down no authority. So, when you give da'wah, because you may get a non-Muslim, let's say you have a non-Muslim at work or something, he comes and tells you, why is a Muslim man allowed to have four wives? Why? And why does the woman have to cover herself? Why? And why, and why, and why? Why you have jihad? And why this and why that? You may have a problem if you don't know how to answer. Now of course, if you are ready, alhamdulillah. But sometimes we may not know how to explain to someone, you know, why these things are part of our deen. You don't have to worry about that. You follow the sunnah of the Quran established by the prophets and the messengers, and also by the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the different narrations, that you begin with tawheed. Say, listen, I will get you an answer regarding that, then you ask someone who knows. But let me ask you a question. Do you believe that Allah is the only one who deserves to be worshipped? Or do you believe that there are other gods with Allah? Then you have a very rational discussion. Now any Muslim should be able to invite someone to tawheed. Otherwise, we need to reconsider our iman. Do we really know Islam? If you're unable to deliver tawheed to someone, meaning we really don't understand what we are upon. And this is not befitting for any Muslim. And tawheed is not some geometry or some you know, philosophy. It is the most basic, natural, simple matter. That there's one creator who created everything, is taking care of everything, and when we return to him, so then we should worship him alone. That's it. You should be able to deliver that. And Yusuf alayhi salam did just that. He first gave him da'wah to tawheed, so we give da'wah to tawheed. We establish the worship of Allah alone, then if we're able to answer the misconceptions, then bismillah. You answer the misconceptions if you know yourself, or you ask those who are more knowledgeable. ولهذا كانت الرسل عليهم الصلاة والسلام يقولون لأقوامهم اعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره ولكن أبى ذلك المشركون واتخذوا من دون الله آلهة يعبدونهم مع الله سبحانه وتعالى ويستنصرون بهم ويستغيثون. He said, this is why all the messengers, may the peace of Allah and His blessings be upon them, all of them, they used to call their people to tawheed. The first thing they would call the people to, they would say, worship Allah. You have no God besides Him. If you read Surah Hud and Surah Al-A'raf, you will notice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enumerate a number of prophets who were sent. And the very first thing they will say to their people, اعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره. Worship Allah. You have no other God besides Him. Even Lut, he first called them to tawheed, then he mentioned the deviance that they had in terms of their, you know, you understand what I'm saying. But even that, he first focused on tawheed. Because if a person knows Allah and he worships Allah, this will help him abandon sins and deviance. The reason why the people would be negligent and continue to follow their ways, because they really don't believe in Allah properly. And this is applicable to the Muslims. The more we don't know Allah, the easier sinning will become, and the more the chances are that we will deviate from the path. But the more we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more difficult it will become to know that Allah is watching you, Allah sees you, Allah hears you, Allah knows what's going on inside of you, and to continue to go in your evil ways, you know, they don't come in the same sentence. It doesn't happen. So the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then is the ultimate element which will, protect a person from deviating and from going astray. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us upon the path. So the Shaykh said, so these polytheists, the pagans, they refused to worship Allah alone. And they insisted, they took besides Allah, other gods, in which they worship them along with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they seek their help and assistance, their gods, these gods. وقد أبدل الله تعالى اتخاذ المشركين هذه الآلهة ببرهانين عقليين. الأول أنه ليس في هذه الآلهة التي اتخذوها شيء من خصائص الألوهية، فهي مخلوقة لا تخلق ولا تجلب نفعا لعابديها ولا تدفع عنهم ضررا ولا تملك لهم حياة ولا موتا ولا يملكون شيئا من السماوات ولا يشاركون فيه. The Shaykh said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invalidated the act of taking other gods besides them by the polytheists in two intellectual ways, two reasons. The first, that these gods which they have taken besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala possess absolutely no divine attributes. They have none of the divine qualities of uluhiyyah. It is created and it does not create. That's the first thing. It is created, it does not create. And it does not bring any benefit for its worshippers. Neither does it ward off any harm. It cannot benefit, it cannot harm. And it does not possess any life, control of life or death, causing death. And they do not own anything in the heavens. And they have absolutely no partnership in that. Allah says in the Quran, قال الله تعالى واتخذوا من دونه آلهة لا يخلقون شيئا وهم يخلقون ولا يملكون لأنفسهم ضرا ولا نفعا ولا يملكون موتا ولا حياة ولا نشورا. سورة الفرقان verse 3. Allah جل جلاله says interpretation of the meaning in English, and they have taken besides them gods. Allah called them آلهة, gods, that create nothing and themselves are created. And this is very interesting. Bring any idol, any object of worship that the people have taken besides Allah, and just tell the people that are worshipping, please let your idol create for me a mosquito, a fly. Go to these big statues that they have in these different countries that they worship besides Allah, and tell all of the worshippers to come together and make the statue make me one fly, one ant, one hair. They will not be able to do so. So the first quality of the false god is that they do not create anything. And furthermore, they are created. Did that statue come about all of a sudden? Somebody carved it. Maybe a few years back. And I have a video, I've seen it, maybe some of the brothers here have seen it with us. There was a video that was recorded in a Christian Catholic church. Okay? And basically, there were four men carrying an idol of Mary, Maryam, which they consider to be the mother of God. تعالى الله عما يقول الظالمون علوا كبيرا. High above is Allah, what they ascribe to him, the oppressors. Supposedly the mother of God, which they worship besides Allah. There were four men were carrying her, on this kind of wooden thing, and it has four handles. And everyone has it on his shoulder, and the statue is in the middle with flowers around, and decorated and adorned and everything. And they're walking down the middle path between the benches of the church in order to put it on the stage in the front for the people to devote their worship to that statue. And then the four men are a little old, so one of them, when they were putting it down, it slipped off his shoulder, and all of a sudden the statue was like, "Wee!" And the head broke off. And you should see the people in the church. The nuns in the front and the priests and all the people screaming and panicking, and it just, they freaked out.
Their dad just fell on the floor and broke its head. Now we the Muslims look at it and say, Subhanallah. Yani, how do you reach this point? That they don't see it, one. They don't see. They don't realize that this is your dad that just fell on the floor and broke its head. And the four men, because of the embarrassment, they ran away. They just find that the closest door, ma'asalama. Because what if they may kill them? You killed our God. You broke our God. So then we say, and this is something happening today, by billions of people on earth, worshipping idols and statues. Say, the statue, you carved it. Look, it wasn't even able to benefit itself. It wasn't even, yani, maybe if it flew, when it was about to fall, it flew, we will say, tayyib, there's some miracle or something, shaitan. Of course, it'll be shaitanic if this ever happened. But at least to them, yani, it just fell on the floor, broke its head. And this is the God that you worship, subhanallah al-azim. Al-muhim, they don't create anything, and they are created. Someone carved them. But the verse continues, and they do not possess for themselves any dhar, any harm. Okay? ولا نفع or any good. Now, someone may say, okay, why? Why does the verse say they do not possess for themselves, the statues, for themselves, they do not possess any harm or good? What does that have to do with the worshippers? Yeah, this is because this is based on a principle that is understood, which is known as فاقد الشيء لا يعطي. The one who does not possess something cannot give it to others. We've mentioned this before. So if they do not possess harm or good for themselves, how are they going to give it to the people? Subhanallah. So this is even more eloquent and stronger in meaning. They do not possess harm or good for themselves, then how are they going to give it to you? If that statue of Mary was unable to protect itself from falling, how is it going to answer the supplications of the supplicators? But la ilaha illallah, alhamdulillah for Islam, alhamdulillah for Iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided us to this truth, which is very obvious, but still it is by the mercy of Allah that we're guided. Because other people who may be doctors and you know, scientists, they don't know this. They're not even guided to the simple truth. Alhamdulillah for Islam. طيب. وَلَا يَمْلِكُونَ مَوْتًا وَلَا حَيَاةً وَلَا نُشُورًا. And these false gods, they do not possess any death. They cannot cause death. They cannot give life. And they cannot resurrect anything. They cannot bring people back after their souls have passed. وقال تعالى قل ادعوا الذين زعمتم من دون الله لا يملكون مثقال ذرة في السماوات ولا في الأرض وما لهم فيهما من شرك وما له منهم من ظهير ولا تنفع الشفاعة عنده إلا لمن أذن له. In Surah Al-Saba, verses 22 and 23, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says interpretation of the meaning in English. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the polytheists and the pagans, say, call on to those whom you have claimed to be gods with Allah. They do not own, they do not possess, not even the weight of a small ant. Dharra, according to the Arabs back then, is the ant. Nowadays they also translate it as atom. You know, the atom, which is the smallest thing that is found. So whichever one it is, even if we assume it's an ant, without being very technical, because this is a recent discovery, these gods, they do not even possess the weight of an ant in the heavens or in the earth. And they have absolutely no partnership in them, in the heavens and the earth. No partnership. They don't own any of them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not take any one of them as supporters. These false gods, they don't support Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to maintain His creation. And وَلَا تَنْفَعُ شَفَاعَةُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا لِمَنْ أَذِنَ لَهُ. And intercession does not benefit with Allah unless He gives the permission to that individual. And in order for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give the permission for the interceder and the one who's receiving the intercession, they both must be upon tawheed. The one giving the intercession, Allah must be pleased with him, and this is only the believer. The one receiving the intercession must also be a believer, because the disbelievers are disqualified. Now, with the exception of the uncle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whom through the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah decreased his punishment in the hellfire to the least punishment, but he cannot take him out of there. He said, alayhi wasallam, that he will be wearing shoes, sandals, that are so hot that his brain will boil. Abu Talib, the uncle of Rasulullah, who did not embrace Islam, who knew Islam was the truth, but was not able to leave the religion of his forefathers, His punishment in the fire, according to the authentic narration, is that his sandals will be made out of fire. They will burn. They will be so severe in the heat that his brain will boil. Look at the distance between your feet and your brain. Let alone the fact that on the Day of Judgment, the disbelievers, their size will be magnified. As in one narration, it says that the tooth, the molar tooth of the disbeliever will be the size of the mountain of Uhud. So the body will expand for the punishment to encompass the whole thing. Because smaller quantity, smaller size, smaller punishment. Larger size, larger punishment. So imagine how large Abu Talib would be. And the shoes he'll be wearing will be so hot that his brain will be boiling. And you know what? The hadith says, he will think that he is the most severely punished person in Jahannam. And Prophet ﷺ said, and verily he is the least. So this person will be, he will think that this is the utmost punishment. And wallahi, he will be the least. So don't ask about al-munafiqeen. إن المنافقين في الدرك الأسفل من النار. In the lowest part of the fire, the hypocrites. Don't ask about the kuffar. Don't ask about those who died upon a religion other than that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will just be punishment beyond comprehension. Just read the Quran and listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described Jahannam with. Shajarat al-Zakum, this tree, this wicked tree in Jahannam, the fruits of it are like the كَأَنَّهَا رُؤُوسُ الشَّيَاطِينَ, like the heads of the devils. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, they will eat from that. They will drink, you know, scalded hot pus, the pus of the body, whenever they're thirsty. وَأَنْ يَسْتَغِيثُ يُغَاثُ بِمَاءٍ كَالْمُهْلِ يَشْوِي الْوُجُوهِ, it would burn their faces from the heat. This is Jahannam. And some Muslims will be going there. Unless we do some business today. Brothers, this is not only for the kuffar. This is for the Muslims. Na'am, Muslims will enter Jahannam, al-'iyadu billah. Unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves us from Jahannam. But if a person who has tawheed and a lot of disobedience and sin and deviance, he is going to go to Jahannam. If Allah wills, yes, he will be taken out at some point because he died upon Islam. But do you want to take a chance? I mean, does anyone really want to say, okay, ma'alish, I will get some punishment, then I'll go to Jannah? No one wants that. Rather, we should strive to enter Jannah automatically without any punishment. That happens, then if you want to do that, if you want to be among those, don't you want to be among those? Then the first, you have to be among the muttaqeen. Right? Because every time Allah describes Jannah, He says for the muttaqeen. And those who will be protected from Jahannam will be the muttaqeen. So then one will say, well, who are the muttaqeen? And they were mentioned in many different verses in the Quran. The one in Surah Al-Imran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالدَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. Those who spend in the cause of Allah, huh? During the good times when the money is available, and during the hard times, وَالْقَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ, and those who suppress their anger, وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, and those who pardon the people, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, and Allah loves the good doers. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. And those who, if they commit a major sin, which means that even the muttaqeen may commit a major sin, but hold on, you have to read the rest of the verse. Or they oppress themselves, ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ, they remember Allah, عَلَطُول they remember Allah, استغفر الله. فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ, so they seek forgiveness for their sins. وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ, Allah asks, and who forgives the sins but Allah? Then this is the most fundamental aspect. وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ, and they do not insist on committing these sins while they know the consequences of them. Those are the muttaqeen. And of course, we have many different qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave in the Quran. This is not the time to enumerate them. But the idea is that the main quality of the muttaqeen who may fall into major sins or disobedience is that they always repent to Allah. They do not remain heedless. They do the sin every day, every day, every day until it becomes normal part of their life. The muttaqeen cannot do that. They may sin, but as soon as they sin, they remember Allah. They do istighfar. They repent to Allah. They don't insist on the sin. So alhamdulillah, this is from the mercy of Allah. Imagine if the muttaqeen were those who never sin, then all of us will be disqualified. All of us right now will not be among them. But the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that even the muttaqeen have these violations, but they have a way to rectify. So this is mercy from Allah. We should strive. If you want to enter Jannah without any punishment prior to that, then you must be among the muttaqeen. My brothers and sisters in Islam, the muttaqeen are not the average Muslims. The average Muslims you see around the world are not among the muttaqeen today. During the time of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een, yes. The average brother was from the taqi. He was a taqi. But today, may Allah al-afiyah, the average brother is not a taqi. So for us to be a taqi, a person who fears Allah, does the commandments, stay away from the prohibition, we must exert ourselves. We must be extra. We have to go the extra step so we may be qualified by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طيب وقال تعالى أيشركون ما لا يخلق شيئا وهم يخلقون ولا يستطيعون لهم نصرا ولا أنفسهم ينصرون. سورة الأعراف 191 and 192. This is all emphasizing the same concept, and they worship with Allah that which creates nothing, but themselves are created, and they are unable to help them, nor can they help themselves. They cannot help the worshippers, and these false gods cannot even help themselves. The Shaykh said, وَإِذَا كَانَتْ هَذِي حَالُ تِلْكَ الْآلِهَةِ فَأَنَّ اتِّخَاذَهَا آلِهَةً مِّنْ أَسْفَهِ السَّفَهِ وَأَبْطَلِ الْبَاطِلِ. He says, if such is the condition of these false gods, then verily taking them as gods is among the utmost of foolishness and falsehood. The ultimate foolishness and falsehood is to take these objects of worship as gods with Allah after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described their deficient qualities. Them being created, unable to benefit, unable to harm, and the people continue to take them gods. This is an indication that this person is among the most foolish of people and those who are practicing among the worst of falsehood. So may Allah protect us from that. والثاني أن هؤلاء المشركين كانوا يقرون بأن الله تعالى وحده الرب الخالق الذي بيده ملكوت كل شيء وهو يجير ولا يجار عليه، وهذا يستلزم أن يوحدوه بالألوهية كما وحدوه بالربوبية. The second way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invalidated their claim is the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that these polytheists, they confess, they attest the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alone the creator, the Lord, the creator who is the sovereign of the heavens and the earth, and He is the one who protects and against whom there is no protector. And this necessitates that they should dedicate their worship to Allah alone. They should unify their worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, the same way they had believed that Allah is the only Lord. So you confess to rububiyyah, then this necessitates that you should follow with uluhiyyah by worshipping Allah alone. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah verses 21 and 22, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ اعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فِرَاشًا وَالسَّمَاءَ بِنَاءً وَأَنْزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَأَخْرَجَ بِهِ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ رِزْقًا لَكُمْ فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. O mankind, worship your Lord. Worship the Lord who created you and those who came before you, so you may be among the pious, al-muttaqeen. So that's the only way you can attain taqwa. Then Allah gave us some of the qualities of rububiyyah, the qualities of Allah's lordship. He says, the one who made the earth a resting place. The earth that we are inhabiting today is a resting place. You're able to take advantage of it. وَالسَّمَاءِ بِنَاءً. And He made the وَالسَّمَاءَ عَفْوًا بِنَاءً. He made the earth, the sky, a canopy. وَأَنْزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً. And He sent down from the sky rain. فَأَخْرَجَ بِهِ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ رِزْقًا لَكُمْ. So He produced fruits therein as provision for you. So do not set rivals with Allah while you know. See? He established the rububiyyah, and the end of the verse, if this is what you know, if Allah is the one who created you and those who came before you, and Allah is the one who sent down the rain and so forth, then do not set rivals with Allah. Do not make equals with Allah in worship while you know.
وقال تعالى ولئن سألتهم من خلقهم ليقولن الله فأنا يؤفكون.
In Surah Az-Zukhruf verse 87 Allah says, and if you were to ask them who created them, they will say Allah. So then how do you turn away from worshipping Him alone?
وقال تعالى قل من يرزقكم من السماء والأرض أمن يملك السمع والأبصار ومن يخرج الحي من الميت ويخرج الميت من الحي ومن يدبر الأمر فسيقولون الله قل فقل أفلا تتقون فذلكم الله ربكم الحق فماذا بعد الحق إلا الضلال فأنى تصرفون.
Say to them, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, who provides you? Who provides you from the heavens and the earth? And who owns the hearing and the seeing? And who brings the life from the dead? Who brings the life from the dead? Like the egg of a chicken, then one day it becomes a small bird, a small chicken. Although the egg at some point was dead. And many other examples from the dead, from the earth, trees grow. وَيُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتَ مِنَ الْحَيِّ. And he brings the dead from the living. Like the person who's living becomes a human being who dies. Right? And then the seeds that come from the vegetation, from the trees. The tree is a living thing, and then the seeds come. And the scholars also mentioned another one, the fact that he brings the believer from the disbeliever and the disbeliever from the believer, because a disbeliever is dead and a believer is alive spiritually, not physically, and vice versa. So who does that? فَسَيَقُولُونَ اللَّهِ. They will tell you Allah. فَقُلْ أَفَلَا تَتَّقُونَ. Then say, do you then not have taqwa? If you confirm that, do you not have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then Allah says, verily that is Allah, your Lord, in truth. Then what is after the truth except deviance? What is after the truth except deviance? فَأَنَّا تُسْرَفُونَ. How do you turn away from the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This was in Surah Yunus, verses 31 and 32. With this, the aspect of belief, we said that belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is comprised from four different categories. To believe in the existence of Allah, the rububiyyah of Allah, the lordship of Allah, al-uluhiyyah, the unifying worship to Allah, which we just finished, and this was the fourth right now, which is al-iman bi-asma'ihi wa sifatihi, believing in the names and the attributes of Allah. And this is a very fundamental aspect. Now, it's up to you. If you wish to do this tonight, I will continue. If you're tired and you prefer that we do this inshallah next week, then this is fine. So I'm going to vote. For those who want me to continue with the names and the attributes of Allah, the nature of our belief in them, raise your hand. And those who want to do it next week, raise your hand. Inshallah, I think it's best that we wait till next week, because I don't want anyone to fall asleep during the desk. So, but this is going to be very interesting, inshallah. So hopefully, we will all get the chance to do this next week, bi-idhnillah azza wa jal. Hada wallahu ta'ala alam, walhamdulillah, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad, barakallahu feekum.